There's a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it! And it is! Peter Will!
Welcome, everyone, to From Witten to Rotterdam, an Aston Villa podcast. We're your hosts. My name is Eddie.
And I'm Pascal.
And today we're joined by Ibrima Sonko of the Gambia Lions. Ibrima, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing good. I'm still happy with the Villa 3 points yesterday.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we needed on a Saturday morning. Saturday morning for me, afternoon and evening for the rest of y'all. So we just want to get right into our global villain section. Ibrima, you're coming all the way from the Gambia, sunny West Africa, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't meet a ton of folks from the African continent. You know, I've met a few South African Villa fans, but never from the Gambia. So maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, why you are a Villa fan. Of, like, you know, why not pick any other team?
Yes. One of all, I became a Villa fan because of my friends, Andy and Helen. They are not far from Villa Park. They come to Gambia here. They spend 2 weeks with me at my home. And then explain a lot of things about Villa. And they take me to the nearest bar, not far from me. And that I watched Villa first match there. So from there, I became a Villa fan every day and day. And I have an academy in my village also, which I contain 150 children, which I name it by a Villa Academy in Busumbala village. Because many people don't know Aston Villa here in the Gambia, but now I'm taking the flag up everywhere in the Gambia now, because even my mom and the children, they all know about Villa now, because even we are playing, my mom used to tell me today is your match, and we used to pray for Villa to win their match every day. So we're not able to watch match together because of the lack of the TV and the wireless also. So I used to walk from next village to watch a Villa match there with my Christian and the kids also. Because my friend Andy and Helen told me a lot of things about Villa and the good people there. So I already see it here in the Gambia because a lot of people helped me, send me some stuff for the Gambian Villa Lions. So Villa till we die.
Absolutely. So you said these two folks who live near Villa Park, Andy and Helen, is that correct?
Yeah, Helen and Andy. Andy, Helen Wright and Andy Wright.
Wonderful. So I was wondering, you know, like, were they down there for kind of holiday? Were they down there doing, like, different kind of work? Like, I'm wondering how, like, you guys connected, because it sounds like you made, like, a pretty wonderful connection when they were there.
Yeah, really, really, we have a wonderful connection here, because I already spent 2 weeks with this guy, and they are really amazing people, because I am the one cooking for them every day, for their breakfast and the dinner also. So I take them many places here in the Gambia. They already see my Villa. They already see my Villa team here in the Gambia. And now every day I'm talking to the people so that they can come and join me to support Aston Villa, because we are number one in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so what would you say is your, what was the first ever Villa match you went to see? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember it. I think when Villa in the Championship League.
Okay.
When Villa was playing against Leeds.
Oh, at Villa Park?
Yeah, at Villa Park.
What was the score? Was it 1-1 or 1-0?
Yeah, well, I think it's 1-0.
1-0. Okay.
Yeah, 1-0, yeah.
So that was around April 2017, I think?
Something 17, like. 2017, I became a Villa fan.
it's never too late to support the right team. And obviously we're us and all the Villa fans around the world are obviously glad to have you supporting our wonderful club. So when you watch games, you said you walk to the bar. How many kind of people do you have watching a game at the same time? How many people watch the games with you?
Sometimes I have 15 people or 20 people watching with James together. Sometimes in my village, sometimes nearing in my village also. Because now many people knows me here in my village. I'm a Villa fans because they see me in my Villa side going everywhere in the Gambia. So even some show me in the Gambia here, they say, oh, that's Aston Villa. That's Villa boy. I say, yeah, me and Villa till I die.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that.
Because we cannot able to watch match together because we lack of the TV and the wireless also.
So just thinking about, you know, you say like 15, 20 people, that's quite a bit. Sometimes it's in the village next door, sometimes it's yours. It just depends, I guess. So I'm wondering, like, on a match day, like, what's the atmosphere like? Are people singing? Is it like more of this like kind of watch? Is everyone like in jerseys, like, or is it kind of just people like, what's going on here, and kind of gathering? Like, yeah. I'm wondering, like, if you're the Villa fan and everyone else just likes watching, or is like, is everyone the Villa fan now in the village?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, yeah, we used to sing with the kids. Yeah, but we lack of the Villa side here in the Gambia because I don't have many Villa side because I have almost 20 Villa side. So I give it to all my friends and my family members and the kids.
Yeah, and I'm sure eventually that will come. There's loads of there's always like things in the UK where they donate Villa shirts and stuff. So
sad, yeah, because I'm expecting some Villa shirt from Villa Park.
That's good
for this Christmas, yeah, for the Gambian Villa Lions.
Yeah, that'll be a really good Christmas present. So obviously you've been supporting Aston Villa since 2017. Who would you say? Because that's quite a short time. Who would you say right now, or back then when you started supporting Villa, who's your favourite player?
Oh, that's Jack Grisland.
Grealish?
Grealish is my best player.
Yeah?
Yeah, Grealish. And now Grealish, everybody love him in the Gambia here. Even the Manchester fans, the Liverpool fans, when they saw me, they tell me, oh, Ibrahima, you're that number 10. It's dangerous.
He is. He's
Yeah.
They're jealous of him.
Yeah, I wrote his name in my house, Jack Grealish.
Oh, that's amazing. And I mean, you told us about your first game, that 1-0 against Leeds, and you know, Grealish is obviously the favorite. Do you have a favorite Villa moment, like a game that stands out to you that you watched with everyone else? You know, that was just like everyone's going crazy, just like a really lively atmosphere. Like, what was your highlight in terms of the game?
Oh, because when Villa is playing, because I used to talk to my friends, Jamarcus, he used to call me when Villa is playing. I already have the faith and I already have the hope Villa can do it. Yeah, that game is amazing game because that is my first time to see Jack Grisland playing. So from there, I tell my friend Andy, yo, I love this team because I love Villa in my heart, not by mouth. Yeah, everybody knows that in the Gambia here. I'm a real Villa fan because I only watch only Aston Villa match. Apart from that, I don't watch any football match. Maybe sometimes Champions League or sometimes a Derby Premier game, but I only watch Aston Villa.
I love that. And no, I think the first time you watch Grealish play, it's an easy time to fall in love with the game. I get it. But I guess the last question we'll have before we kind of move on is you mentioned like a football academy in your village, you know, that's something you started with the children. So I'm wondering how you kind of started that and like how Villa fits into that. Cause I think that's a really wonderful and really cool thing. And we'd love to know a little bit more about that, especially some of our listeners, you know, they want to contribute or be able to like pitch into that. Cause that sounds like a really wonderful cause.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I just sit with my brother thinking about how I love Villa. So I also want Aston Villa to have an academy here in the Gambia, especially in the Africa. because like Chelsea, because I think Chelsea have an academy in Nigeria. So I want Aston Villa also to have an academy in the Gambia, especially Africa, so that they can come and look the youngest players there and the future players, so that they can take them to Villa Park. So I really try a lot. It's not easy for me to do it a lot because it's only me. So I cannot do it all. So I try to talk to the kids to explain about how the team is good and how good people are there and how these good people are helping the people in the world. So, and the kids also love the team and they really love Jack Grealish. Yeah, Grealish, all the kids love him and the Tyrone Mings also, they all love him. So then we also decide and go to the village and talk to the village elders also and the sport community in our village. I told them I want to open an academy, the name by Aston Villa here in my village. So they told me, oh, that's no problem. That's a good idea. And they also give me my documents. So from there, I forwarded to the Gambia Football Federation. So they already give my certificate for the academy and my licensing. So now I'm operated as an academy here in Gambia. So I can be part of the, any competition here in the Gambia. So now all the Gambia people will see Aston Villa playing everywhere in the Gambia. So now they will know Aston Villa. They are the number one team in the world, and Villa till we die.
Oh man, I love that. I got goosebumps from that. Thank you so much. So, and you know, I would love to see more players from the African continent playing for Villa in the future. You know, we have a couple now from North Africa, and then we have, of course, Marv. We had Ali for a little bit, but you know,
Traore. I think that
Traore as well, Burkina Faso, you're right. So I think it's, you know, the more African players we get and the first time we get a Gambian player, I think, you know, you're going to be able to hold your head real high. And hopefully it's from your village. Yeah. I think that would be incredible.
You can see Sadio Mane is playing at Liverpool. He's from Senegal, not far from me.
Yeah.
We share borders.
It's only a matter of time.
Time, yeah.
So we're going to move on and talk a little bit about the Wolves game. Obviously a great result for us yesterday. Aston Villa won. Yeah. Wolves zero, and you know, we left
Wolves,
it.
Wolves zero, yeah, that's brilliant, Jim. Can't believe it.
So, Abrim, I'll start with you and then we'll move on to Pascal. I'd love to hear before the game leading up, what were your thoughts? Were you nervous? I mean, this was one I really didn't know how to think about it, but I'd love to get your thoughts before the game, then we'll move on to Pascal.
Oh, no, I'm not nervous because I'm expecting a win. Because I even told it to my friend Jamagos. I tell him you're gonna win because he knows me. Every game I have the courage. Villa can do it because I know we have the team now.
Definitely, yeah. It's good to come in with a little confidence. I think you might be alone in that. At least for me, I'll go to Pascal here. Pascal, what were your thoughts before the game? Because I know I was thinking before kickoff.
To a good team, and obviously I grew up in Birmingham my whole life, so I know a lot of people who are Wolverhampton fans. My phone beforehand, everyone was saying stuff back and forth. I predicted a 2-1 win for Aston Villa when in my WhatsApp group. I thought we were going to win because Wolves without Raul Jimenez aren't the same team, and he's a very good player. So I thought we were going to win. I knew it would be a tight game because obviously we're away from home and Wolves are a good side, but I felt quietly confident. What about you, Eddie?
I was expecting a draw. I didn't think it was going to be as open as it was. And, you know, it was a little bit of a back and forth game throughout. But I was really expecting it to be a 1-1 draw. I just think since Ross got injured, you know, we've looked a little tepid going forward, and I really didn't expect them to sub in Ramsey, who I actually think he made a decent account of himself in his debut. I think, you know, he's a little bit more mobile. He can get around the pitch a little bit more than Hurahan. So I expected it to be kind of a little bit more of a chess match, but hey, I'm happy to be wrong with that. So let's talk a little bit about the game, because I think there's a few storylines that come into play. The first being just the refereeing. So Pascal, we'll start with you and then we'll go to you, Abrima. You know, Mike Dean, not my favorite ref, has had a little bit of a mare there, you know. I want to say like 7 or 8 red card, yellow cards distributed, 2 red cards during the game. It was rough. So Pascal, maybe tell me a little bit about what you thought of Mike Dean's performance, and then Abrima, you can hop in as well.
I hate this ref so much. Like, we have a thing in the UK, it's called the, and he does this like every now and again. He'll try and make the game all about him. And I think he did. What you got to remember as a football fan is you got to let the game flow a little bit. You know, some of these fouls, they're fouls, but they're not yellow cards. You know, he booked 3 players in the first 5-10 minutes, and there was no need to do that. You could just let the game flow. So, yeah, you know, what can you do, really?
Yeah. Oh, the referee is not good at all, because you can see the dog. You can see the red card is not necessary for that card. Yeah, and the too much yellow card in the game. I really don't like that referee.
That makes three of us. Yeah. I do think it was just so start and stop. I think Pascal kind of nailed it there. It was, you know, a lot of back and forth. It didn't really get going as a game. And especially given the lineups, I thought it was going to be a little bit more flowing. You know, I think it got there a little bit in the second half, but, you know, it was not the game I thought it would have been. One thing I am curious about is, you know, we had quite a very, I'll be honest, like I was surprised by the lineup. So I'm wondering what people thought, you know, Traore starting and Ramsey getting his debut in the league. So what were people making of that lineup? Because I personally thought Hurahan was going to start, and I thought Trez was going to keep his place. Abrima, what were you thinking of the lineup with Ramsey and Traore?
Oh, the lineup is really good. It's really brilliant. Because first time to see Ramsey playing, and he really do good. And Martinez also, he's the match of the match. Yeah, and Target also did really brilliant yesterday. But the lineup is really good.
Pascal, what were you making of that one? Because, you know, I agree. I think Ramsey played really well. And I think, you know, those two other guys he named really good games. But I wasn't expecting him to get the start. So what were you making of that?
Yeah, Ramsey's been around the academy for a long time. But I didn't think he was going to be ready for a Premier League start. But I didn't think he's ready. He's only 19, so I thought he was going to play Hurahan and Trez, but Trez must be injured or something.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, like I think he did make a good account of himself. I think early on he was just starting to cope with a little bit of the physicality, but I think the nice thing about Ramsey is that he's had a few of those loan spells to lower leagues. You know, I think he was at Doncaster last year, and he had a good little spell there. So I think the fact that he was able to kind of get in and make it work, you know, he looked right at home, and I would love to see him start Burnley too. I think he gives us a little more mobility while we're waiting for Ross Barkley to get healthy again. And speaking of, you know, the lineup, I know both of you mentioned it, Trezeguet, nowhere to be found. I'd love to hear what your thoughts on that, because I don't know if he's carrying an injury. There's been nothing out of the camp saying it. So maybe we'll start with Pascal here a little bit, but, you know, just wondering, like, what'd you make of his omission? You know, I'm all for Traore getting game minutes. He's, you know, definitely not quite match fit yet, but no, to leave him out of the match day squad the whole entirely, I just thought was really surprising.
Yeah, he must just be injured. That's the only thing I can see. But we didn't hear anything beforehand that he was going to be out of the game, so it must have just been like the day before the game or something. He must have come down with a small injury in training. Let's just hope it's not too serious. And then, yeah, I knew. Once Trezeguet is out, Traore is always going to be the default replacement. So, yeah, happy to see him get a start.
Yeah, about Trezeguet. Yeah, because me, I think Trezeguet will start the game. Yeah, because he's a really good player, and I like the way he's playing.
Yeah, he's been good all season. A little bit of lacking in product, yeah, but you know, yeah. I think that's going to come.
You can see Tarwala can do it. Yeah. But when Trezeguet is there, yeah, we can score maybe a lot of goals.
Yeah, and he's put in a few really good deliveries this season too, so we can't discredit that. You know, Traore is trying hard, and I think he's going to grow into it. But, you know, so far it hasn't happened for him. So I guess the last thing to really kind of touch on with the game is the goal. You know, I think, you know, after going down to 10 men with what I would say, I think Dougie, that's a great first yellow card, but I think that's a soft second. I don't know if anyone had any thoughts on that, but, you know, then McGinn turns on the afterburners, nutmegs Semedo, and draws a penalty. So, I mean, I was screaming. I think everyone was screaming. I think it was a good moment in the game. But I think the thing that really kind of took me by surprise was El Ghazi stepping up to the plate, especially after he just came on, you know, the forgotten man, if you will. So, Abrema, when you saw El Ghazi getting ready to take it, what were your thoughts? Because I actually felt pretty good about that, because technically speaking, like, you can't ever fault
El Ghazi. Yeah. When El Ghazi take the ball, I'm watching the match with my friends. I tell him this is a goal, because I already post a video in my Facebook account. When he starts shooting, I also start celebrating goal, and I know that he will score.
Oh man, I wish I had the confidence of you, Abrema. You sound way more confident about Villa than I do.
When he's Watkins, I don't have confidence for him.
I get that. Yeah, Watkins is, he's 1-for-2 in Villa shirt, but I think he's 2-for-6 or 2-for-7 overall in his, like, professional career. But no, El Ghazi took that so confidently. I was actually having an argument in the bar. The two guys I was watching with, shout out to Steve and his friend in New York, but they just kept saying, like, oh yeah, he's Egyptian. We're all Egyptian. And I was like, no, he's Dutch. That's how forgotten he is. You know, he's just not playing enough for they remember where he's from. But Pascal, I mean, you were watching in a bar with a lot of people, a little different than the environment I was in. So what were your thoughts when he stepped up? Because I think it was a surprise.
Well, I'll sum up the game very quickly on a whole before we get to the penalty. So the second, I thought Wolves were the better team. I thought we were the better team in the first half, and I thought Wolves were the better team in the second half. And I think Martinez, some fantastic saves. He definitely kept the game 100%. I would have took a point as soon as we went down to 10 men. I would have took a point before the game started anyway, but when we went down to 10 men, it was interesting. It almost like kicked us into gear, and we looked like more of the attacking threat. But yeah, the penalty itself, finally, we get a last-minute decision going in our favour. McGinn's done absolutely brilliant to turn your man, and it's a clear penalty all day. I thought Watkins was going to step up again to put right the penalty he missed against West Ham, but that wasn't to be. I must admit, when we were at the pub in El Ghazi, everyone was like, oh, here we go. Because I don't think El Ghazi touched the ball the whole game. I don't think he did any. I don't think the ball. So everyone was a bit nervous, and then when he scored, the pub just went absolutely crazy. Everyone was jumping. Yeah, so obviously I'm delighted for El Ghazi, because obviously he's took a lot of abuse on social media recently, so it was a big moment for him. So yeah, I'm happy, man. Yeah, very, very pleased. Hungover today. Had a crazy day after, but very, very delighted with the penalty and the 3 points against a local rival.
Love that. And, you know, I think one thing that I'll kind of pose to the group. So El Ghazi's gotten a little bit of time in the last few games. And if I'm being honest, I actually think he's looked pretty good in short minutes. I think he's played 50 minutes so far this season. He's scored more goals than Anthony Martial, which I think is also hilarious. but just generally speaking, like, I actually think, and this was a big theme last year, and even his first year in a Villa shirt, you know, you bench him for a few games, he comes back a little bit of a point to prove. And I think that has shown in the last few games, he's looked a little dynamic, he's looked fit, he's looked pretty sharp. He hasn't had a lot of time to show it, but even stepping up and having sort of, I'll say he had the balls to just take that ball and put it away, you know, I think says a lot. And even Tyrone Mings came out on social media today and defended him. I know he retweeted out in the account. So yeah, you guys, just thinking about, you know, Trezeguet, who's maybe not had a dip in form, but, you know, is having trouble finding his shooting boots, and Traore, who's still settling in. Do you guys want to see El Ghazi get a little bit more involved, or you think you're comfortable with him being a last-minute savior in situations like this and maybe not starting?
Yeah, I want to see him playing more, because I think El Ghazi, Smith have to bring him at second half. Because before bringing Tarawale in, I think you have to bring El Ghazi first. Because I have to hope El Ghazi can do it. Because I watched his match since Premier League, Champions League. So he really do it a lot for Aston Villa.
Definitely.
I'd say he probably deserved the chance to start midweek based on that. Yeah, I think he should start against Burnley, especially as he scored against them last season as well. So this is the thing, now we've got competition. If someone doesn't do well, you know, someone else gets their chance to come in and then they're going to want to perform to get the starting spot in the team. So yeah, I'd give him a start. I'd give him a start against Burnley.
Absolutely. I always forget, and that's a great point you brought up, Ibrahima, like, I forget El Ghazi has played Champions League football and like played a good amount of it when he was at Ajax. And you know, not even like a dip in form or anything. Like he performed well for Ajax. Like he was a very like highly touted talent out of that academy, which, yeah, you know, produces incredible players. And, you know, he made his big money move to Lille. It didn't quite work out for him. And then he found himself with us. But, you know, this is a player who I think has a lot of quality. I think that consistency has been missing, and, you know, I think that's a winger thing, but, you know, I do agree with you guys that he deserves a chance, especially if Trezeguet is injured or just not, you know, cutting it right now. I think that competition's only going to make everyone better. You know, iron sharpens iron, if you will. So really quickly, I'm going to give for everyone's man of the match, starting with Ibrahima. Who was your man of the match yesterday?
Oh, Martinez. He's the match of the match.
Yeah, I completely won match, and it's Emi Martinez again. Yeah. If it wasn't for him, we would have probably
yeah.
No, I think Martinez played phenomenally yesterday. I think he you know was really assured, confident, claimed balls, you know. And one of the things I really like about Martinez, which I haven't seen in a Villa keeper in a while, is that he's not one to punch and parry as much. Like, he'll do it as he needs it, but, you know, he holds on to balls. He catches, even in, you know, midair diving saves. Like, he'll smother whatever he's got coming to him. And I think that, like, really releases a little bit of that pressure, which I think about even going back as far as, like, Gallini and Nyland. Like, the ball could be coming straight at him. They're just going to palm it away. So it's really nice to see someone with a really assured set of hands. But I'd also like to give a little quick shout-out to Matt Target, who's been getting a lot of abuse on social media. I think he came in, and by the time he got home yesterday, he was emptying Adama Traore into his kitchen table out of his pocket. You know, he really played well. I think he must have got up and read Twitter and saw everyone hoping that he was not going to start, because he came in and did a job, and I thought he played phenomenally. And I think he's been that scapegoat this season unjustly. You know, he's had his odd off game, but, like, I think everyone on the team is going to be able to have that game. So, you know, I think he did really well as well. All right. So moving on, I think we talked about it a little bit, talking about El Ghazi starting midweek. We have Burnley. I think it's on, correct me if I'm wrong, Pascal, Wednesday, Thursday?
I think it's Thursday night.
All right. So, I mean, we got a quick turnaround this week, a couple games. So it's going to be, you know, making up for some of those games in hand that we're missing. I think I'm seeing that Barkley is still going to be out. Obviously, we're missing Douglas Luiz and Matty Cash after the red card incidents and just the accumulation of yellows. So it's going to be a weird one. Burnley, we were talking offline before the game or for the recording today, Pascal and I. Burnley have only scored 5 goals this season, 5 goals in 10 games. Their leading scorer, Chris Wood, has 2. And, you know, it's been a real slim pickings for who I imagine has typically been like a pretty established Premier League team. So going into the game, really curious, like, what are your thoughts on Burnley so far this season? Like, I haven't watched a ton of them, but I have watched a few games, and there's just something missing from that team that I think I've seen the last few years. You know, I typically see them as this, like, team is going to bully you around the ball, you know, trying to be physical with you, but just hasn't come off for them. So I don't know, Ibrahima, what are your thoughts on Burnley ahead of the game? Like, I don't know if you've watched much of them or know a ton about them, but, like, what are you thinking going into it?
Oh, I have the courage Villa can beat Burnley, because I don't watch their matches, because I don't know how good they are, because I don't know Burnley, but I know Villa, so I know Villa can do it. You know?
Do you remember the games from last year against Burnley, Ibrahima? Do you remember how those went, and sort of, like, what were your thoughts on Burnley then? Because just, you know, trying to get a sense of, like, what you're, you know, what you remember of them from playing them last year.
Yeah, last year. Yeah, Burnley, they are really good. They have a good side. But I think we're going to beat Burnley because I don't watch their matches. Because, you know, last year, I don't watch much of Villa matches because of lack of the TV. So sometimes I used to walk 1 kilometer to go around to watch a Villa match.
That's quite a walk.
Yeah, so, but I'm saying again, I don't know Burnley, but I know Villa.
Oh, man. Again, I wish I had the confidence that you have about our beloved team. It's just not something that's been beat out of me, I guess, from years of supporting them through some rough times.
Because I know this year we have the team. Yeah, we have the team. We can beat Burnley. When we beat Liverpool 7-2, I'm not surprised about that. So any team come, we're gonna beat them.
It's one of those ones. We should beat them. On paper, we should be beating Burnley and comfortably as well. But this is the Villa we all know and love. This is
probably
in game where we like mess it up or something. But yeah, if you had to ask me right now for a prediction, I'd say maybe like 2-0. I genuinely think it could be quite comfortable, depending on what Villa turn up. We need to perform at some point. So two games against Burnley and West Brom are like, it's a big chance to get us up the league, so let's hope.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I look at their team and I just see a lot of really sort of disjointed parts. You know, Dwight McNeil is a player I rate who can carry the ball, who can do some good things. Chris Wood is like a big bruising striker, but like there's not a ton of service. I mean, if Ashley Westwood is, you know, old boy Ashley Westwood, who I do rate, if he's gonna be your creative force, that's not his game, and I don't think they have a lot of players to do much else. You know, I also think Ashley Barnes has been out, who's been a big player for them, and that partnership without him and Chris Wood has been something they're missing. So even though I think we're going to be missing Barkley and stuff, I don't want to say it's going to be comfortable, but like I think it might be. And then obviously we're going to lose 3-0 because I said that. So I think that's the Villa we know and love. That's not my actual prediction, but we'll just go right into predictions because, you know, it's coming up quick and fast, and I think we should just get into it. So, Ibrima, what's your prediction for the game, and who do you think is going to score?
Oh, my prediction is going to be 2-1. I'm going for 2-1. Grealish and Watkins will score.
I like that, and I think that'd be great, especially to see Ollie get back on the score sheet. I think that'll be an important one for him. Pascal, what are we thinking?
I think we'll win 2-0, and hopefully a Watkins brace for the sake of my fantasy football team, which down the back. That Watkins with 2 goals.
And I think if I had to stick my neck out, I think I'm also going to go for a 2-0. I think Watkins will get one. And I think McGinn's going to get on the score sheet. He looked fired up yesterday, and I think he's going to, especially in that second half, he had a rough first half. I think, you know, if you misplace butts to the sticking his backside out, but I think he really came on strong, and I think he's due a goal. I also hope that someone gets sent off for breaking Ben Mee's leg. Not literally, but I do think some retribution is coming that guy's way because he's been a thorn in our side, I think, you know, after the Wesley incident, and I think he's got it coming. I don't actually want him to get hurt, but I do hope someone gives him like a, maybe steps on him a little bit because I think he's earned it. And real quick, lineups, you know, I think that's been such a curious thing with Ross out and now Dougie out and Maddie. So who do you guys think is going to start at right back? Who do you think is going to start in the midfield? And do you think, you know, who do you think is going to be on the wing too? Just because that's been such a hotly contested little spot on the right. Ibrima, who do you think is going to get the nod since Douglas Luiz, Matty Cash, and all of them are out?
At the midfield, I think Nakamba can start and Ramsey. Yeah, at the wing also, maybe when Trezeguet don't come, they start El Ghazi also. Oh, I think El Mahamadi can come and start.
I'd play Gilbert for pace, just for the pace option, because he'll be up against Dwight McNeil, and I'd play Nakamba as well for Douglas Luiz. Definitely, yeah.
I think with the way they're going to try and play, which is going to be pretty direct, I actually agree with both. Yeah, like, I think Nakamba, actually, this is a good game for him to come in. You know, they're not going to be able to contain our creative players moving forward, but if he's there to just sort of break up that attack and give it to the folks who can do something with it, be that Ramsey and McGinn in the midfield, Jack out wide, and whoever else, I think that'd be great. And I actually agree with you, Pascal. I think I don't think he'll start, but I want Gilbert to get the look. I think that pace is just going to be really key against a team who's honestly pretty slow. I think every time I've seen Burnley play, it's been they've been a kind of a sluggish looking side. So yeah, there we go.
Burnley's game plan, sorry to interrupt you. Burnley's game plan, get the ball in the wing and cross it into the box. So Mings and Konsa are going to have to be on their game because that's Burnley's game plan to a T. They've been doing it for years and it's been successful up until now. So we need to make sure we stop the crosses, basically.
Absolutely. All right. So I think that does it for our show. Abrima, thanks so much for coming on. This is typically the part of the show where we let you do any plugs. I know you have the Academy and you have a few GoFundMes going. So if you want to share anything for the listeners that you want them to know about, you know, by all means.
Oh, yeah. About the GoFundMe. Yeah, I have an Academy here and I want Aston Villa people to help me so that I can achieve my goals here in the Gambia because I need footballs and cones and the training start for the Gambian Villa Lions. So I would like Aston Villa family to go for me so that I can help these children here in the Gambia because I cannot do it alone for myself. So I want Aston Villa people to help me to help the Gambian Villa Lions here in the Gambia because I want to see Aston Villa flags everywhere here in the Gambia, like Manchester and Chelsea and Barcelona. But now in my village, Villa is leading there. Yeah, we are number one, Villa till we die.
Excellent. We're definitely going to provide a link to that GoFundMe in the episode description. So if you guys can get out there, you heard it here first, you should absolutely get involved with that because it's a great cause. And Abrima is doing really fantastic work down there. So we want to make sure we're supporting him as much as possible. Outside of that, you know, thank you so much for tuning in, folks. We hope you like, comment, subscribe. We're running a giveaway right now, so tell your friends. We have a tweet pinned up right now. All you got to do is retweet it and follow. Once we get to 800 followers, we're giving away those very sharp Villa training jackets for the winter. It's cold out there in the UK. I don't know. It looks pretty warm in Gambia, but you might still want a jacket, Abrima. So make sure you're retweeting and doing all that, and it's going to be great. Pascal, any final words for the nice people?
No, I've been away for a couple of weeks due to work and stuff, but hopefully we'll be back on track now. So my work schedule and Eddie's work schedule and hopefully Jim's is kind of lining up there so we can get a more regular kind of and just keep listening and supporting.
Yeah, it's been a crazy few weeks, but I think this is a good reset and we're really, really, really excited that, you know, Abrima, you could join us today. So thank you so much for coming on. We so much appreciate it.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, Pascal.
All right.
Nice to invite me.
Oh, of course.
I'm really happy here today.
And why not? Villa 1-0, perfect weekend. That's all we can ask for. And it looks like the weather is beautiful there too, so I'm a little jealous of that as well. Yeah. It's freezing here in New York.
Oh, yeah. It's hot and sunny here.
All right. Well, if no one has anything else, I think, again, we appreciate all of you for listening and up the Villa.
Up the Villa. Villa till we die.